It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody's blitz. Give the ball up and over. And in, I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it at the two, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown! Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20, Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in! Touchdown, Auburn! Flash that smile, Cam!
Byron waits for the snap into place, there it is, the kick is up, the kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19!
Unity, man. That's what this university represents. Serve, discipline, and believe. Let's go play ball! Let's go!
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome into Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Doug Holton along with you. And for the next hour, we're going to talk some Auburn sports. And we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. There's a lot of things on the agenda, from college basketball to prep football. And, of course, college football still on the minds of everyone. Here we are at Thursday after the decision by the committee last Sunday. And people are still talking about it, which tells me they didn't get it right. And we'll talk about that tonight. Brian Brensfield is going to join us to talk about some football. Also, Dontarius Thomas in the second half hour, Auburn legend, will be with us to discuss some more of that as well. And Cliff Ellis in the news yesterday, we'll talk about that. But back to the college football and the committee and the way they selected things last Sunday, since we last left you in the last show, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Florida State did their work on the field, and it seems to me that the committee wanted an SEC representative in the mix, in the Final Four, and the only way they could get there was to include the Texas Longhorns. So we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. I think former coach Gus Malzahn, whatever decisions, whatever he did at Auburn, there were some things that probably weren't right, but he got it exactly right when he talked about the College Football Selection Committee earlier this week.
A defense played their best game against a top 20 offense, and they win, and they don't get rewarded. I think it's a bad look for football. I was real disappointed personally. I'm kind of one of those old school, high school guys, worked my way up. Not that I'm a Florida State fan by any means. I'm a Mike fan, but yeah. I just don't think it's good for football. And they should be in. I'm sitting there trying to figure out, like, Georgia. They hadn't lost in 3 years, and they lose by 3 points, and they don't make it. I don't know. I think they need to take a serious look at how they're evaluating. The good thing is that it's going to 12. And so this is probably the last year you'll have that. But I don't know. I mean, an undefeated team in a Power 5 conference wins their conference championship, and they leave them out, and they use the excuse their quarterback's hurt. No, I don't go for that one.
Yeah, I don't go for that one either. We'll talk about the college football selection committee and the Final Four and who was in and who was out a lot tonight. Also, college basketball, as we mentioned, Cliff Ellis, who made a lot of deep friends and developed a lot of deep relationships at South Alabama and at Auburn while he was there on the Plains for 10 years, has announced that he is stepping down as the head coach of Coastal Carolina immediately. He'll be a consultant for the rest of the year. And Coach Ellis, now 78 years of age, but that really didn't have a lot to do with his decision, I don't think. What did have a lot to do with his decision was all that coaches have to deal with now and all that college athletics has become with NIL and the transfer portal. That's all we talk about during December. And Coach Ellis, like I think about Roy Williams at North Carolina, Coach K at Duke, a big part of the reason they stepped down from college athletics, and it was a big part of what Cliff Ellis had to decide for himself. Obviously, he'd been thinking about that decision for the past few weeks. But some thoughts from Coach Ellis about his decision and what is going on in college athletics as we talk today.
A few years ago, universities giving a T-shirt could invite an investigation. Now several million dollars might get you a quarterback. Come on. I hear of players transferring, understanding they were going to get a certain amount of money to go in and find out that they didn't get the kind of money they thought they were going to get or were told to get. Now players are suing universities. Players are, today, they're suing universities. Where are we going? Where are we going?
That's a great question, and I'm not sure if anybody has the answer right now. Maybe Coach Ellis can help after his retirement. I know Coach Freeze has mentioned that as far as the transfer portal in the month of December. Maybe shortening the period is one of the solutions. So we can talk about that. Also, a big game last night as the Prep Super 7 continues in the state of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. A big game last night as former Auburn quarterback Patrick Nix leads Central Phoenix City to a victory, perhaps an upset victory, over Thompson in the state championship game. It was an outstanding game. Cam Coleman from Phoenix City, the wide receiver who is committed to Auburn in the last couple of days, was the MVP of the game. He had an exciting touchdown run, and we heard from Patrick after the game and his comments after the victory over Thompson.
I was very thankful. Great group of guys, great team, great leadership, absolute battle. Hats off to Thompson. Coach Freeman, his staff did an incredible job. Hats off to our guys for persevering. It wasn't pretty. Too many mistakes in kicking game, things like that, but we just found a way to win. And that's what these guys have been doing.
And so Central Phoenix City, the 7A football champions in the state of Alabama this season, Patrick Nix, the head coach, leading them there. We want to bring in now to the show our man, Brian Brinsfield, who played at Auburn at the same time as Patrick Nix. And Patrick Nix was one of his best friends. Brian, great to have you on the show tonight to talk a little bit about Coach Nix and what they've accomplished this season.
You don't get any better than Patrick and Krista Nix. I remember when Patrick told me he was going to marry Krista, and I was a redshirt fifth year, and Patrick and Krista got married Patrick's fifth year, senior year, and would have me over for dinner on Sunday nights and their little duplex. But just, I'm excited for Bo. I'm excited for the Nix family. His dad was a football coach. This is Patrick's third state championship with three different schools, which, hey, listen, maybe he's in the pipeline for Auburn somewhere, maybe down the road. But I'm really excited for him and just a great family.
Yeah, that's odd that you mentioned that. I was just thinking that in my mind when you were talking.
Yeah.
I always think of Patrick, and of course that play and that call from Jim Fife is my favorite one of all time. And I think we've talked about that, but yeah. I always think of Patrick. And when I think of the Auburn offense and it's struggling, I think, why don't we get Patrick Nix?
There's a coach. And, you know, Patrick, and it's been fun to kind of, he was probably my best friend in college, the 5 years that I was there. And, of course, we've lost a little bit of touch as people do over the years. We keep in touch through text. I'm fortunate to be able to text him and I've mentioned this several times, Clay Helton, and get to kind of pick their brain when I was a defensive coach, in Navarre. But, he was a coach. He broke his teeth in Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and which was where Bo was born. And I remember Patrick calling me about 30 minutes after Bo was born. He wasn't more excited than when Emma was born. He called me about an hour after Emma was born, but I think he was pretty dang excited to have a son.
Yeah.
But he broke into coaching there, and he ended up at Jacksonville State, in Alabama. Then he went to Georgia Tech and played with the big boys and had Calvin Johnson as a wide receiver. He was the wide receiver and passing game coach. Went to Miami. There's a great picture I have of Patrick, Bo, and Caleb walking off the field at Miami. So he's got the experience. Their offense is always, they scored 84 points in the first three rounds of the playoffs. To a single digit number for the rest of the team. So, he may be out there.
I know this has got to be an incredible weekend for them. They're going from a state championship in Tuscaloosa, which they probably didn't want to be in Tuscaloosa, but, but anyhow, they won the state championship and they're heading to New York today or tomorrow and going to be, front and center at the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I think Bo has a pretty good shot at collecting the hardware up there.
I think so. I mean, if you look at, the guy's almost got an 80% completion rating. And that, I know in the games they talked about him aiming, him and Dan Lanning. He told Dan Lanning, that he wanted 85%. I think he's at 79% now. Again, I haven't talked to Bo in quite a while. I mean, it's been a long time. But mm-hmm. Patrick and I have remained. But just to be able to see, I'm sure they'll pay in like they do every Oregon game on Kristen, Patrick, and maybe even interview Patrick being an ex-player. But just having what a phenomenal week. I mean, they've gone from a conference championship, which they narrowly lost out in Las Vegas, to coming back to a state championship at Central Phoenix City, and then get on a plane this morning or whenever it is and fly to New York and have a chance at holding something that how many people, 70, 80 have held in their lifetime.
All right, Brian, hold that thought. Three guys in the past, three Heisman Trophy winners at Auburn, Cam Newton, Bo Jackson, Pat Sullivan. And we'll talk a little bit more with Brian in just a couple of minutes about the Nix family and Bo Nix in New York this weekend for the Heisman ceremony. And what is his relationship with Auburn after leaving Auburn, the controversy that was there with Coach Harsin, and going to Oregon and finding such success? We'll talk about that more with Brian Brinsfield in just a minute. I want to tell you quickly, fans, about the place to be this weekend if you want to watch the Heisman ceremony or whatever basketball or football games are on the agenda for you. Go down to Nixon's in Midtown Mobile and enjoy the great atmosphere, the great sports atmosphere there. 8 Megatron TVs to watch whatever game it is you want to watch right there at Nixon's in Midtown Mobile. Not to mention the great food they have at Nixon's in Midtown Mobile, but my gosh, if you haven't gotten the message yet, you'll get it again tonight. They have fantastic sandwiches and wraps and appetizers and desserts for you all at Nixon's in Midtown Mobile. You can start it off with the appetizers again. The quesadillas are my favorite. Beef, chicken, shrimp, vegetables, whatever you want. You can move along to the Thai wrap with shrimp or chicken. You can get the great seared tuna wrap. It is fantastic at Nixon's in Midtown Mobile. You can get any kind of sandwich you want. They have a lot of great ones on the menu. The meatball sandwich, the Nixon's, and as we've talked about so many times as well, 21 beers on tap at Nixon's in Midtown Mobile and 8 wines on tap. You won't find that really anywhere else in town. It's a great place to go. Enjoy a drink with your friends. Enjoy dinner, appetizers, dessert with your friends, and enjoy the game at the same time. Go by and see JT and the great people at Nixon's in Midtown Mobile this weekend for the ball game. When we come back, more with Brian Brensfield, more college football and college basketball in just a minute. Stay here on Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night.
This is Head Coach Hugh Freeze. You're listening to Tiger Talk Overtime on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
And welcome back to the show, everyone, and we want to continue our conversation about college football and the Knicks family. What a whirlwind month or a couple of months it has been for them. As Brian, you mentioned, Brian Brensfield is with us here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Brian, you mentioned about Bo Nix playing in the championship game out in the Pac-12 against Washington. They lost that one in a close game, a field goal for the second time. Patrick Nix, your good friend, won the state championship last night in Tuscaloosa against Thompson. And now both of them, Bo and Patrick, are heading, and probably more, heading to New York City this weekend for the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
I told Patrick last night in my text to him just to breathe. And then on Saturday, he can hold his breath for a couple seconds and then breathe again, and it'll all be over soon.
Yeah. They might have to build a bigger trophy case.
Listen, he didn't even text back. He's so busy. He just put a heart beside it and said, okay, let's go. Yeah. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. What do you think? I don't want to get too much into their business, but what do you think Bo's feelings are toward Auburn? I know he's probably grown up an Auburn kid and gone to Oregon and is going to do whatever he does this weekend. What do you think about that? I don't know what the question is, but is he Auburn forever, I guess, is the question.
I would think so. I don't want to put words in Bo's mouth, because again, I haven't talked to Bo in quite a long time.
Yeah.
Since probably it's been 10 years. And since I've talked to Bo specifically, and that was our reunion and our 20th reunion of our 93 team. But I would think there's a place in Bo's heart. I hope we didn't sour him forever.
That's got to be a little bit of sour in there, but
I'm sure there is. Yeah. And you know, we being the fans, probably not his experience. His experience was probably like any college football player. It's a whirlwind. But I'm happy for the guy. I'm happy for the kid that he was able to get out, go somewhere that they could utilize him, teach him. He still had 2 offensive coordinators at when he was at Oregon. So that's a total of 5 in 6 years. And that's tough. And to play at the caliber he played those 5 years, especially at Oregon. You know, I think of it kind of like this. I think obviously, if he wins the Heisman, he'll have a Ducks shirt on. But, you know, I wonder, you know, when you go in the Hall of Fame, I think you get to maybe choose your helmet.
Yeah.
What helmet would he have? I would think probably a Ducks. And I hate that. But I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him. I hope he
had. I thought about, would they build a statue outside of Jordan Hare for him?
He's a Heisman Trophy. I mean, he's a Heisman Trophy. Hopefully, a Heisman Trophy winner from there. And I think he deserves it. But I hope he's just not soured. I hope he doesn't have that sour taste. And if he does, then over time, he can remember the good stuff and not the bad.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, as well as you know his dad and how deep Auburn runs in their family, it'll probably work out that way.
Yeah,
but let's talk about Auburn a little bit. As we were talking just a second ago, the portal is open, and we saw one of our guys in Tuscaloosa last night, Cam Coleman out of Phoenix City. Everybody's talking about this wide receiver class that we have coming in, which is badly needed, as we can all tell. What did you think of Cam last night? Looked big and strong and fast and like he can go up and do some damage for us.
He did. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to tell in high school because you're playing – I don't know how tall Cam is. He looked 6'8". He's probably 6'3", 6'4", maybe. I don't even know. But in high school, you're probably going against some 5'11", 5'10" guys, which he won't go up against at Auburn. But listen, I was just his catch radius, his range, his speed breaking away there for the touchdown. I'm excited. We've lost four ball catchers, three receivers that I know of, and then Tyler Fromm yesterday as a tight end. So we need a good class coming in. And I think that the guys we're getting are quality guys. We're not just getting a lot of quantity. We're getting a lot of quality with the ones we're getting. So I'm excited. It was good to see Cam and just the fact that we could flip him and he could join that class. And from what I understand, this is all via social media is how I understand it. I don't have any inside sources, but you know, this quarterback came in during the Alabama game that we're getting, that he's playing in the Under Armour or the Army, All-American,
Walker White. Yeah.
But he had a sweatshirt on that I saw a picture of and had every guy that he wanted.
Right.
And he's got a couple of them to switch and the recruiting class as a whole has. And I think nowadays I think they have a lot of sway over these guys. The kids. I mean, I didn't know my recruiting class until I got there. I knew of them, but I think these guys run in such a tight circle with social media that they do have a lot of sway.
Yeah, and they're not limited in what they can do.
No.
Yeah.
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
I didn't know this, and maybe this is news to you and in the radio audience, but I didn't know that you could benefit from your NIL that you're going to get while you're in high school. So there's a kid out of Georgia. I don't know where he is. I know. I'm not going to waste the time, but he's a ninth grader and supposedly the number one quarterback in that class. And he can't benefit from his NIL deal yet. There's 19 states out of 50 that don't allow high school kids to do that. And the article was talking about their parents should move him out of the state so he can already become a millionaire, you know, as a ninth grader.
Yeah. Why not? I guess. A lot of pressure on kids, but
that's right.
I was thinking about, I know Auburn is after Ryan Williams at Sarah Land pretty heavy with a group of receivers that they have they had a picture together at the Iron Bowl and that kind of thing. And you mentioned Tyler Fromm. I've wondered for a long time, how many H-backs, how many tight ends do we have and do we need? Because we've had four or five for, how many years? But so I guess it's with Luke's decision to stay at Auburn next year, maybe Tyler decided it's time to branch out and do something different.
Right. That's I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. I wish they wouldn't. I wish it was back in, and I hate to consider myself old, but I am. But the old days where everybody just stayed. But that's not college football anymore. I mean, you've seen a mass exodus from even Colorado.
Anyway, I know you got places to go and things to do, but appreciate you being with us.
Sure. I wanted to ask you if you got time real quick, just about the playoff, what you think.
You and I have texted back and forth a lot, and I think I've come to the decision that this is not going to sound good for the NCAA or the committee or the Alabama or whatever.
We can't get sanctioned, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm going to say it anyway. I think the Southeastern Conference, the NCAA, and whoever else was putting that thought in the committee's head that we need to have the SEC champion in the playoff.
Yeah,
that happened to be Alabama. They couldn't take Georgia over Alabama. And the only way they can get Alabama in the playoff was to take Texas, because Texas beat Alabama during the regular season, right? So we wind up with both Texas and Alabama. I did a little research on this yesterday.
All right.
texted you this or not, but here's, they talk about Florida State, right? And their win in the final game, the ACC championship against Louisville, which they won by 10 points over number four.
With a third string quarterback.
Here's Texas with their first team quarterback this year, lost to Oklahoma 34-30, beat unranked Houston 31-24, beat unranked Kansas State 33-30, beat TCU 29-26. All these teams are unranked. And beat Iowa State 26-16 with their first team quarterback. So how does that put them ahead of Florida State?
Yeah, the middle of their season was incredibly soft, and they didn't do a whole lot with it. So, I don't know. I think Florida State probably deserves to be in that third spot. If I'm upset, I'm upset. If I'm Georgia, how do you're ranked number one all year? You lose one ball game, and you're not considered as good as another one-loss team, two one-loss teams. So another team that really has a gripe would be Georgia. But, I think that you're absolutely right. If you were listening to College Game Day on Saturday morning, you heard Commissioner Sankey with the SEC say, he said it just means more, and we should be there whoever wins the ball game.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some maybe backside politics and things like that. But
the part that concerns me really, Brian, is, and I think we talked about this, is the committee looked at Alabama, Florida State, and Georgia in the second three teams, and they had to pick one. They picked, on the eye test, they picked Alabama is better than Florida State with Florida State's quarterback situation, which I don't agree with anyway, but.
Yeah,
but they picked Florida State to be better than Georgia in that scenario. How does that to me reeks of politics?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it doesn't make a lot of sense, and it won't. And listen, you think it's going to get better next year with 12. We'll be talking about 13, 14, and 15 next year.
It'll be a much longer show next year.
a lot more stats you got to go through than just Florida State.
But I had Washington, Michigan, and then Florida State and Oregon, which I think Oregon is deserving with two losses to Washington, but a lot of people didn't see it that way. Who did you have?
Again, well, I had who ended up in there is where what I thought would happen on the night before after Oregon lost. I'm sorry, after Saturday ended up, I thought it would be the four that got in. Who I thought it should be was probably a Georgia at four and Florida State at three. Oregon has every, you lose by 6 points in two ball games to the number two team in the country. Again, there's a lot of gripes to be had. There's a lot of cases to be made.
Yep, there is. And we'll see how it works out.
They didn't need to vote though. So, yeah.
We'll probably wind up with Texas and Alabama, the two teams that didn't deserve to be in there in the first place for the championship.
I really think that's going to happen. I think Alabama's speed is too fast. They're just too probably physical for a Michigan who hadn't played that type of ball yet. And then I see Texas beating Washington.
Yeah. And I think as I told you also, if the committee had any foresight, they would have said, we have eight teams here who are pretty close. We're going to add an extra weekend and have an 18 playoff, and then we'll get to four and be right where we were supposed to be.
Yeah. You have to have eight. You can't have six, but
that would make too much sense, right?
That's exactly right. I heard somebody yesterday say, man, we need a unbiased computer to do this. Well, we had that, we had that BCS and Auburn got kind of railroaded on that with the BCS.
Yep, they did 2004, and it makes me think back to 1984 with the old way we used to do it. And I think, are we any better off today than we were with the four bowl games on New Year's Day? That question enters my head a lot.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's just what it comes down to, I think, Doug, is money and who you can get to travel, who you can get on TV, who people are going to watch. And what conference is going to come out of obviously makes a deal. If you're going to, you got to have somebody in the SEC, it looks like.
That is certainly the way it looks. Brian Brensfield with us on Tiger Talk Overtime tonight. We'll continue the conversation in just a minute with Auburn legend Dontarius Thomas. Stay with us right here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. We want to welcome into the show right now Auburn legend Dontarius Thomas down in Florida, down in Tampa, Florida. And Dontarius, great to have you on the show tonight at War Eagle.
Thank you for having me on War Eagle.
I wanted to get you on because you are down in Florida. And of course, the situation last Sunday when the committee came out with their picks and, I guess the talk is still going on here on Thursday as we do the show. So what do you hear down in Florida? The Seminoles got left out and there's a lot of controversy still, a lot of people talking about it. What do you hear and what do you think about the committee selection?
Yes, yeah, it's a lot of people still down here talk. I mean, what just came out now, Governor DeSantis, you know, now want to take $1 million to give the Florida State to sue the committee, and everybody's like, okay, now that's kind of we got more things to worry about than some football. Yeah. But you know, a lot of Florida State fans in the area feel like they deserve to get in, and a little upset with the committee. You know, I understand. I mean, we went to a similar situation with 04 at Auburn, so I understand that. But you know, if you're asking me about the committee, the decision, I'm fine with it. Because for me, I want to see the best four teams. And to me, that four teams is, you know, the Washington, you got Michigan, and then you either pick Texas, Alabama, or Georgia as of right now. Oregon, I know we spoke earlier about Oregon. I had Oregon actually to win the whole thing, but, you know, they had two shots at it. So I understand why they got left out. And Ohio State. I was going back and forth with somebody else about Ohio State. I'm like, Ohio State, they lost at Michigan by one score, you know, last second. So, you know, I think this year would have been a perfect year to have at least a 16 playoff, you know. But I'm not too upset about it. You know, it's part of it. You know, you're always going to have controversy because if you left those guys out and then Florida State go out there and get and throw lay an egg like TCU did or the year that the when Alabama beat up on Notre Dame, just like nobody wants to see a blowout game. So yeah. I want to see a competitive game. And looking at that offense that Florida State came out with against Louisville, like I actually saw the ACC championship game, to have, I think they only scored, the team total for halftime was the lowest points allowed. I mean, said made, and that was just like, what, 3 or 6 points, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, on, that's, I don't want to see that. I want to see some good ball.
Yeah, interesting, because we just got through talking to Brian Brensfield about the same topic. And the thing I think about, DT, is Florida State's defense in that game against Louisville was pretty good against not a bad team. Louisville's number 14 in the country. And the question that enters my mind is, with Florida State's defense, how much could Michigan score on them if those two were paired off in the Final Four? And people talk about the quarterback situation at Florida State, like they beat Louisville by 10, the 14 team in the country by 10 points with their number three quarterback. But I researched this a little bit this week and I want to know what you think about this. I mentioned this to Brian as well, but Texas's schedule this season with their first team quarterback, they lost to Oklahoma 34-30. And all the rest of these teams that they beat are unranked. Keep that in mind. Beat Houston 31-24. Beat Kansas State 33-30. Beat TCU 29-26. These are very slim margins. And beat Iowa State 26-16 by 10 points with their first team quarterback. What do you think about those numbers?
Yeah, I mean, you have brought up some legitimate points. I think what kind of helped Texas is the conference as a whole. They probably going to say the Big 12 is better than the ACC, with Clemson being not as powerful as, you know, saying not as dominant as they normally would be, you know. But no, you brought up some good points. You could throw Texas in there. I mean, sure, you could throw Alabama in there. I mean, because the Auburn, that game, they basically got in by a prayer, you know. If they would have lost that game, there's no way they would have been in. But then again, if they would have lost and then beat Georgia, I feel like the committee would have put Georgia still in because of how close the game was.
Yeah.
I know I say for me, I want the best for a team. It's still an opinion, and I respect everybody's opinion, you know, watching games and stuff. But seeing that offense and what they could do, like you said, the defense is elite. But I looked at Louisville quarterback, and he was looked like he was not making good, fundamentally football sound decisions. But not knowing when to run, missing open people, mean that. So, yeah, they got a good defense, but some of that stuff will put on the quarterback of the Louisville that just did not play well. So I just, like I said, it goes back to, it's my opinion. Everybody have their opinion. I wouldn't be upset if Florida State was in it. But you know, I'm not upset. All on the committee, like some people are, about not putting Florida State in.
Here's my theory, and we'll go on to something else. But my theory is that the committee was feeling pressure to put the SEC champion into the top four.
Yes, I agree.
They couldn't get Alabama in the top four unless they put Texas in the top four, because Texas beat Alabama. Mm-hmm. So it wound up with Texas, Alabama, and leaving Florida State out.
Yeah, that's a great point. I totally agree with that. They had to, if they was going to get the SEC, I feel like you said, they had to get the SEC champion in there. But they couldn't put Georgia in there because Alabama beat Georgia.
Right.
But it's put Alabama without Texas, because Texas beat Alabama.
Yeah.
So those things like, hey, somebody got left out. This is one of those years, you know, it's a great debate. You go back and forth, over and over, back and forth. There's no right or wrong answer. That's why I said, for me, if Florida State got in, I would have been upset. I was like, well, we just see what how they play. Mm-hmm. If Texas and Alabama and Georgia got in, or even Georgia got in, still over Alabama or Texas or whatever, I wouldn't have been upset as well. Because you can argue for each gone college team who deserve to get in.
Yeah. And I think the best thing that the committee could have done, and people argue about how doable this is or was, but – you got eight teams there that are pretty close. There's not a whole lot of difference in those eight teams. What if they came out and said, we can't really decide between these eight teams, so we're going to do an extra weekend and we're going to have an 8-team playoff.
I would have loved that. And that's why, you know, I saw on JJY, I follow him on on Twitter or whatever. And he posted, committee need to have an emergency meeting, like, hey, we're going to bump this thing up to at least a 16 playoff round or something, because it's just too close. It's too close. Like even Oregon, I would put back up in there because of how they lost. And I think I was telling, like, the first game to me, that was on the coaching. You go for on fourth down and short in your red zone, easy field goal three times, and that comes back to bite you because you lose by three. Both games. The second game, you know, they won or whatever. But I still think them and Washington are right there with each other. But, you know, and I would have definitely been able to, even Ohio State, I would like, to me, my top eight or whatever would have been Michigan, Washington, FSU, Texas, Bama, Ohio State, and Oregon.
More with Don Terrius as we continue on Tiger Talk Overtime right after this from Horizon Financial. I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. Back on Tiger Talk Overtime with Dontarius Thomas, Auburn legend, talking about SEC football. And Dontarius, I wanted to get your take on just in general, year one under Hugh Freeze. How satisfied are you or the former players with what happened this year?
In general, I saw, I'm going to just talk about Hugh Freeze in general as how we did, Auburn team did. I felt like we, as a whole, as a unit, the team played more cohesiveness, like together, than they did last year. It seemed like they wanted it more. You know, they had some slip-ups like the New Mexico games and stuff like that. But when in big games like the Georgia and Alabama game, they stepped up and tried to, you know, play some good ball. So it's nice to see that we're trending in the right direction. As far as recruiting goes, Auburn name is starting to pop back up on the recruiting trail. Kids are starting to get interested. I think Auburn is putting more effort into like trying to get some of these top kids and doing what it takes to, you know, try to get them to come to Auburn. So we're in the right position, the right place to continue to make this team better, to continue to have our program going into the right direction. We just got to get out there and look at the portal. Find those missing pieces, get ready to plug them in, and see what fits our scheme. That's the most important. Do they fit our scheme? Do they fit our, you know, Auburn talent? I mean, it's an Auburn, you know, family in the sense of I'm buying into the program. Because mm-hmm. you got to have to come in and buy into your program and what you're trying to get across. And I think that's what Freeze has really been good at so far. And I think we're going to be all right. So it's going, like I said, I feel like we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, seems like the light is at the end of the tunnel and we're heading in the right direction. It would have been better with a little knockdown there at the end of the Iron Bowl, but coming out of high school, you weren't the highest recruited guy, right, out of Georgia. Do you remember one thing that caught your attention about Auburn at the time?
Oh, man, it wasn't. One, like you said, I wasn't the highest recruited guy, but I knew about Auburn. And all they had to do was offer me. And so it wasn't no hesitation. And then my freshman year, I remember my freshman year, I had broke my ankle in high school. And they, you know how they invite high school kids to games and things like that.
Yeah.
And I would go to a, they invited my high school to the game and I was able to go to an Auburn game to see, you know, they play University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. They blew them out. That's when they had Steve and they had Tequila Spice and all. They blew them boys out. But I just remember like, man, like, oh, I wish one day. And sure enough, I was able to get the opportunity. So when it came down to them, as soon as they said they wanted to offer me, it was like, yep, I'm here. Let's go.
It's amazing how sometimes those stars don't really count for much, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I would be and stop buying into the stars. Go look at the talent and look at the film. And if the player, the guy is playing ball and selling, then he's a player. You know, sometimes we get caught up in too much into the stars and don't even look at the player and see if he actually can play.
And back with a little bit more on Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night as we continue in just a minute. Stay right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
And welcome back, everyone. A final segment on Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday evening. And we are visiting with Auburn legend Dontarius Thomas down at his home in Tampa, Florida. Dontarius, great to have you again. And before you get away, I wanted to ask you about the NFL season this year. Of course, you're a longtime veteran of the NFL. And the Dolphins having a pretty good season down in Florida this year. What do you think so far of how things are going in the National Football League?
Yeah, it's nice. The Dolphins, like you said, are having a good good season. A lot of chatter and buzz around here. Unfortunately, my Bucks are not doing too well. They did get a win, a close victory this past Sunday against Carolina, but you know, not many people were too thrilled about that since it was a close game and Carolina is like 1-11. So, but yeah, it's shaking up to be another good season. That was a big, impressive win for the 49ers over Philly. I was not expecting them to go into Philadelphia and beat them down like that, like physically beat them down. You still got like Baltimore. It's still surprising and kind of confusing to see the Patriots struggles just like for years, especially like with a quarterback for Matt Jones. I thought he was going to be one of those guys that can be like the next Tom Brady, especially in the system with Bill Belichick, knowing that the coaching that he does and hearing players who play for him and how much attention to detail he is and how great of a coach he is. I really thought they would have got that situated and got that on the right ship. But it's surprising that they're still struggling, not doing as well. So it's exciting.
What do you think about Belichick? Is he at the end of the road or getting pretty close, or what do you think?
I don't know. I never like to, you know, count anyone out as far as that. Look at Nick Saban. I'm like, when is this? Because he's been at it for a while. So, and he keep firing back. Because I remember David Pollard made a comment. When Saban was on, they was on camera, like doing a football show, and they was all up there. And David Pollard said, Georgia is the new king of the SEC. And then he came back and said, later on in the later situation, he came back and said that Kirby Smart has overtaken Nick Saban as the greatest coach. Well, what happened this year? And that all happened before this season, like literally last year and beginning of this season where he made those comments. Well, you see what happened. So, but as far as Bill Belichick, so I don't like to say, cause I just know what type of coaching he is. And so I know he's a great coach. Cause like I say, many players that I play against and play with who tell me about how they do it in New England, I'm expecting, I always feel like they're going to have a shot to, you know, resurrect things and get it back in the right path. But he's got to find out now. He got to figure it out, get the players in and get I think he need to get the right coordinators in as far as offense and all that stuff going in. You know, he might need to find a new quarterback situation because he's not looking so good up there right now. So I think if he can find those and figure those pieces out, then he'll be back in it.
All right, Don Terrius, thanks very much for being with us. Always great to visit with DT down in Tampa, Florida. That is about all the time we have for tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime. It was a great show. Good to hear from Gus Malzahn. Cliff Ellis retiring. Big news out of Coastal Carolina. Thanks to Brian Brensfield for being with us to talk some college football, and Don Terrius Thomas again in the second half of the show tonight. Thanks to Steve Stanley for keeping us on the air, and thanks to all of our sponsors, and most of all, thanks to you for listening. Until next week, Doug Holton. We'll see you then. War Eagle, everybody.